Well, we are thankful today. We're thankful to be with you. We're thankful that God has put this together. We're thankful, aren't we? We're thankful that God is with us, that He inhabits the praises of His people. We're thankful that we can worship and that today we get to eat together. And we can fellowship together. Those are good things. We're thankful that this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving Day. We're thankful for many things today. Do you see a theme emerging here maybe today? Our little granddaughter, Benna, she's in kindergarten. And for the last year or more, she's gotten all excited about patterns. I see you. That's a pattern, you know. Well, we hope that this pattern, that this theme of Thanksgiving will be the theme for this week and for many, many weeks to come and indeed for all the days ahead. It's good to give thanks. It's good for those who are thanked, and it's good for those who do the thanking. Listen to this. This is from WebMD, you know, that we can look up, check out on the computer. A little special feature, boost your health with a dose of gratitude. If you want to get healthier, give thanks. This is by a couple of doctors there. What would happen if we extended the tradition of giving thanks, typically celebrated just once a year during the holiday season, throughout the entire year? Such gratitude would be rewarded with better health, say researchers. No pill? No strict diet or exercise program? Can just a positive emotion such as gratitude guarantee better health? It may be a dramatic departure from what we've been taught and about how to get healthier, but the connection between gratitude and health actually goes back a long way. Thousands of years of literature talk about the benefits of cultivating gratitude as a virtue, says University of California Davis psychology professor Robert Emmons. Throughout history, philosophers and religious leaders have extolled gratitude as a virtue integral to health and well-being. Now, through a movement called positive psychology, mental health professionals are taking a close look at how virtues such as gratitude can benefit our health, and they're reaping some promising results. And then from the Wall Street Journal, from the Health Journal, we read this. It turns out giving thanks is good for your health. A growing body of research suggests that maintaining an attitude of gratitude can improve psychological, emotional, and physical well-being. Adults who frequently feel grateful have more energy, more optimism, more social connections, and more happiness than those who do not, according to studies conducted over the past decade. They're also less likely to be depressed, envious, greedy, or alcoholics. They earn more money, sleep more soundly, exercise more regularly, and have greater resistance to viral infections. Now, researchers are finding that gratitude brings similar benefits in children and adolescents. Kids who feel and act grateful tend to be less materialistic, get better grades, set higher goals, complain of fewer headaches and stomach aches, and feel more satisfied with their friends, with their families and schools than those who don't. A lot of these findings are things we learned in kindergarten or our grandmothers told us, but now we have scientific evidence to prove them, says Jeffrey Froh, assistant professor of psychology at Hofstra University in Hempstead, New York. And he's conducted much of the research that's been done with children. So I guess we could say this morning that we can be thankful that giving thanks is a healthy thing to do. But really, we give thanks because we want to do it. We need to do it. And it's something that God would have us to do. Our Creator has made us, and He has made us to be a thankful people. C.S. Lewis, in some of his writings, helps us to see that our joy and our fulfillment is only completed as we give praise and thanksgiving. Maybe some of you read that. Think about it. Don't we say, wow, did you see that sunset? Awesome. It's amazing. How about that touchdown? Did you see that? And as we get excited and give praise and give thanks and share that, we are more fulfilled. We are more completed even in that process. Well, one of the popular songs of God's people down through the centuries is Psalm 100. And it's a thanksgiving psalm. And this is it. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Well, I'd like us to experience this psalm together today, to think about it, to study it, and hopefully to find ourselves singing it and doing it, doing this in the days and in the years to come. Now, when you look at the psalm, it sounds like we are not just to give thanks, but we are to be genuinely, genuinely thankful. And we're to express it with feeling, with joy, maybe even getting loud at times as we do that. We'll ask Carlo to help us with that, right? You know, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. So I'd like to spend some time this morning with you in the what people have spoken of as the Old 100th. The Old 100th, spoke of that down through the ages. Let's sing, let's share the Old 100th, and let's do that again and see how it is that we can be really thankful and how we can really, genuinely, joyfully give thanks. First of all, let's think about this. One thing, maybe the first thing we need to do is clarify the focus or the direction of our thanksgiving. To whom are we giving thanks? Who is the recipient of our gratitude? Well, first of all, we need to know something. He is God. He is God. And to Him we give our thanks. Verse 3, know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. And we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Understand this. But more than that, know this. The Lord is God. It seems to me it might be helpful for us to think about this a bit. What is this knowing business? What does it mean? Might seem kind of quirky here, but think, just go with me for a little. What does it mean to know someone? Most of you know one another. What does it mean to know your husband or your wife, your parent, your child, your good friend? Do you ever ponder that? We say that, I know so-and-so. What does that really mean? But you don't know me, do you? A couple of you just a bit, but you don't know me. And I hope that after a few weeks or a few months or maybe even in a little way after dinner this afternoon, that will begin to change. And Donna and I look forward to getting to know you. We really do. So what's that all about? I think if we think about this, it might help us in this matter also of knowing God. So what is this knowing? Well, some of it's a matter of time, isn't it? It's a matter of spending some time together. And it's a matter of sharing our stories. And I really hope that we will be able to do that in the days ahead. And some of that has already begun to happen. Even since we came to town on Friday, we've been sharing some stories. And that's a wonderful thing. Someone recently wrote this, and I think this is so powerful and profound. Someone wrote, "Our untold stories keep us apart. Our untold stories keep us apart." Well, as we get to know God's story in His Word, we discover that He knows us. And He knows us, I think He knows us better than we know ourselves. Check out Psalm 139. I hope you'll do that on your own later today or this Thanksgiving week. Psalm 139, it begins this way. "O Lord, You have searched me and You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." And later on, he says, and we can identify, I think, he says, "Wow, that kind of knowledge is too wonderful for me. I don't know if I can understand how it is for God to know me so completely, so thoroughly." Some years ago, theologian J.I. Packer wrote a book that's become a Christian classic. It's titled Knowing God. And I read that several times. And then the review that I checked the other day said that Packer underscores the fact that we get to know God better and better by reading and studying His Word. And I agree with that. And I'd like to do more of that. And I encourage you to be getting to know God better and better in His Word, His story. Part of knowing God is our understanding. It's our intellect. But it's also a matter of intimacy. And we were singing about some of that this morning and experiencing some of that. So it's also a matter of relationship. Understanding and relationship. Intellect and intimacy. Think of this. Knowing about God and knowing God. Well, maybe we can help one another. I think that's one of the things we get to do in the family, is we can help one another as we get to know one another. We help one another in our getting to know God. Know that God is God, and direct our thanks to Him. Now, you know, if what I'm doing, whether I'm out there or whether I'm up here, if what I'm doing is just a religious thing, if it's just going to church, well, that can get kind of routine. That can get kind of boring. That can get especially boring, you know, just doing church, just being religious. But if I'm giving thanks to the one that I know is God, and if when we sing, and if when we listen, and if when we respond, if that's God connected, if that's God directed, well, that's a dynamic, that's an exciting, that's an energizing and a life-giving thing, is it not? To God. It's to God. It's in connection with God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Know that the Lord is God. And give thanks to Him. Okay? Secondly, He's God and He's good. He's God and He's good. Our thanksgiving can be genuine and it can be joy-filled because it is given to God who is good. Know that, verse 3, know that the Lord is God.
It's He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Verse 5, for the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. The goodness of God is seen in His creation, especially in the fact that He has made us. The fact that we are, the fact that we have life, all of this is due to our Creator. Thank you, God. Thank you for life. Thank you that we awoke this morning. Thank you that we were able to get up, God. Thank you that we were able to get here. Thank you for memories. Thank you for things that we anticipate. Thank you for family. Thank you for friends. Thank you for joys. Thank you for struggles. Thank you for life. Yesterday, I read Pastor Matt Woodley's description of Howard Ballou, a dairy farmer with, the pastor says, a dairy farmer with huge hands and soft eyes. Throughout his long life, 91 years, Howard suffered many losses. The death of his 10-year-old son, the sale of the family farm and his precious Guernsey cows, and the death of his wife and lifelong sweetheart, Chloe. Toward the end of his life, after the reconstruction of both knees, Howard struggled and he ached. This once strong dairyman who worked 14-hour days now clung to his aluminum walker with each painful step. And at times his body and his spirit shook with sadness. But until his last breath, one thing Howard never lost, his almost childlike sense of wonder. When I visited Howard 6 months before his death, he had a Bible open to Leviticus 13 and a TV guide perched on his lap. Howard, I asked, what are you doing with Leviticus and a TV guide? And Howard chuckled and he said, God is so amazing. I'm reading my Bible from cover to cover, and I'm watching all the nature shows I can. I still have so much to learn. At age 91, Howard lived before God with unquenchable wonder. Not only has God given us life as our shepherd, He provides for us in wonderful and in abundant ways. Listen to this encouragement now from this encouragement regarding our giving gratitude. It's an encouragement to see the goodness of God. I'm going to read just a few verses, skipping over to Colossians chapter 4. And we read this, "And masters, treat your servants considerately. Be fair with them. Don't forget for a minute that you too serve a master, God in heaven. Pray diligently. Stay alert with your eyes wide open in gratitude." Pray diligently. Stay alert with your eyes wide open in gratitude. Don't forget to pray for us that God will open doors for telling the mystery of Christ, even while I'm locked up in this jail. Pray that every time I open my mouth, I'll be able to make Christ plain as day to them. Paul writes to people here in Colossians. He writes to people living in the often hard, the messy world of trying to eke out a living. He writes it to masters and to servants. And he writes from an interesting setting. He's in jail. And in these less than ideal circumstances, he writes, "Stay alert with your eyes wide open in gratitude." One of my favorite authors, and I think I have a growing list of favorite authors, but one of my favorite authors is Mark Buchanan, and I've been reading for quite some time now. I've been reading his book called Spiritual Rhythm, Being with Jesus Every Season of Your Soul. And throughout his book, maybe 20 or 25 times, he offers some time-ins rather than time-outs. He calls them time-ins. In number 15, he writes this. Listen to what Buchanan writes. It's titled, Thankful in All Things. Thankful in and for all things. When I first started reading the Bible, I thought the Apostle Paul must have been half mad. He'd write the most extreme counsel. I'm not talking about his controversial statements on women and ministry or his apparent flip-flop on what to do with food sacrificed to idols or any of the other many sundry things Paul gets blamed for. I mean, 1 Corinthians 5:18 and Ephesians 20, there he tells Christians to be thankful in all things and for all things. That's extreme. But it's not half mad. It's subversively wise. Thankfulness can throw mountains into the sea. Thankfulness can overcome evil with good. Thankfulness can turn adversity into advantage. Thankfulness is more than an act. It's an orientation. It's a reframing of reality. Not in some whistling in the dark way, but in a fixing our eyes on what is unseen way. Radical thankfulness makes sense only if behind our touch and see reality, another reality is hard at work, which is exactly the case. If there's one thing the Bible makes clear cover to cover, it's that what we see ain't all there is. It's not even half of all there is. It's at best a shadow and an echo and a rumor of what really is going on. So radical thankfulness is a way of hailing things unseen. It's the root, it's in the root sense, a declaration that the unseen God is very much on the job, not surprised or dismayed by a single thing and able to work it all to good. I wonder if you would practice right now radical thankfulness. Take a situation that you'd rather not be in. Spend time giving thanks in it. Thank God in spite of it. Thank God for all the good that still abounds regardless of it. Now, take a further step. Thank God for it. Do this not as an act of masochism, but as an act of faith. Of course, you're not thankful for the specific grief or tragedy, mess or loss. But one day, you'll see that even the worst things in your life, God used as raw material for some of the best things in your life. You'll be thanking Him then. Might as well get a head start. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? I like that. Our friend Samri was over the other evening. She was over at our house with her husband, Tennyson. They are young students from Africa, and we've been privileged to get to know them, and I did their wedding back in June. We met out behind the church under a beautiful canopy of trees, and there were 10 or 12 of us there, and we had a wedding for Tennyson and Samri. I was kidding Samri. She's going to graduate now in December from Mankato State or the university, whatever they call it now. She's going to graduate there. And so she was talking about some family members coming and so on. And I was kidding Samri about Donna being her white mama. And Samri said, I got to read it here. Gotta get it. Samri said, I'm so lucky how God is always in my way. I'm so lucky how God is always in my way. Sounds like she's staying alert with her eyes wide open in gratitude, doesn't it? Yeah, it does to me. Stay alert with your eyes wide open in gratitude. We can give thanks with joy and enthusiasm as we see and appreciate and applaud the goodness of God. I'm thankful. One of the things I'm thankful for is people gifted with insight and expression. And I already read to you from Mark Mark, my friend Buchanan, but I've got to share just a little bit again, another one of his time ins. And there's more I'd like to read from here, but I can't stand here and read all morning, right? But listen to this. How rich are you? Ever since the fall, as in the original rebellion, we've tended towards scarcity thinking. Indeed, the serpent incited humankind's rebellion by stirring up a crisis around the threat of scarcity. He distracted Adam and Eve from the abundance God provided and got them pining for the one thing God withheld. "You haven't got enough," was his opening ploy. It's worked pretty well for him since. Have you got enough? Or asked another way, how rich are you? Take stock of your abundance. List obvious things. Clothes to wear, a place to live, a chair to sit in, friends or family to have meals with, meals themselves. But then move to those things that you rarely stop to appreciate. Air, water, bumblebees, hands and feet, ears and eyes, the sound of rain, a Bible verse that's been a lifelong companion, a grandfather who taught you to tie a knot. You get the idea. A list like that can get very long. It can get so long, it can almost make you forget there's anything missing. God is good, and we get to give Him thanks all the time, all the time. Not only is God good, His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. We give joyful thanks to God who is good and whose love lasts. So now, with this week, we are entering the holiday season, and families will gather and friends will hang out and lots of love will be shared. Love is at the root of our being here, isn't it? The love of our parents. And love is what makes life rich and enjoyable. And music and art of all kinds, the movies, literature, it's all filled with themes of love. I think of the goodness of love. And as I was thinking about today and about love, I found myself thinking about our son Jason and his cousin Emmett. Excuse me. As little boys, they loved being together. We remember them crying when our family visits ended and the little boys had to say goodbye to each other. I remember one time being with our son who's very social, our son Jason, who has tons of friends. I remember sitting up with him late one night at Christmas time when he was in college, and he told me how lonely he was. And his cousin, who has just excelled, Jason has too, but his cousin has excelled in his profession. Last year, his cousin Emmett got married, what was he, Donna, 33, 34 years old? For so many years, you know, has Emmett got a girlfriend? You know, leave me alone, Mom and Dad. Leave me alone, everybody, you know. And he got married last year. And now our son and his wife, Bethany, have precious little Maggie. And we just found out that his cousin and his wife, Tennille, are expecting this spring. Love and family are a wonderful thing. And then we have the Kardashian confusion, or should we call it the Class A absurdity? You know, it's just ridiculous. There's lots of confusion, lots of disappointment over love in our day. In the last 6 years or so, Donna and I have moderated, we've led about a dozen 13-week semesters of a ministry called Divorce Care. And we've come to know and we've had the privilege of sharing with people deeply, deeply wounded and greatly disappointed by love. Love that wasn't there, or love that didn't work out or didn't last. We long for love, and we long for a love that lasts. There's a song that I thought of, just came to mind yesterday, and I listened to it again. Renee Olstead sings a song, A Love That Will Last. And she sings, I don't want a memory. I don't want just a memory. Give me forever. Don't even think about saying goodbye, because I don't want one love, because I just want one love to be enough and to remain in my heart till I die. And if we're fortunate enough to know and enjoy a life of love, well, we'll all face the reality of grief along the way as loved ones leave us for their real home in heaven. We were talking about that in Sunday school this morning. We long for love, and we long for a love that lasts. I have a friend back home. Hope to see him again this next week. He's single. He's 38. And it appears that very soon he's going to say goodbye to his friends and to his mom and to his sister as cancer is just destroying his body. This past week, Jim and I talked about how we long for things that last. We long for love that lasts. The Bible says that God has put eternity in our hearts. In fact, it says that God has made us to live forever. If you know, we don't have time now, but and I'm sure we'll talk about it later. But if you'll check out 2 Corinthians 5, listen to this. It says, death does not swallow up life, but life, in the biggest, hugest sense, life swallows up that which is mortal, that which is dying. And I told Jim earlier this week that he's going to leave the land of the land of the dying to enter the land of the living. In 1 John chapter 5, we read that the one who has the Son of Life has life. And then John goes on and says that he's written these things have been written, so that we may know that we have eternal life. Listen. Listen, listen. Love is a wonderful, wonderful, life-giving thing. And God loves you. He loves me. He loves us with an unfailing, everlasting love. That is a real reason to thank Him today and tomorrow and forever. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I am so glad this morning that we have such good reason to be thankful. We can genuinely give thanks, and we can do it with enthusiasm and joy. We can thank God who is good and whose love endures forever. Let's do that right now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. I want to give you an exercise. I won't very often give homework, but I want to give you a little exercise today. Something that you might want to do today or tomorrow or Thanksgiving Day or even beyond that. And if you've done this before or you've got some variation of it you'd like to do, that's fine. But here's the thing I'd like to leave with you. Take the letters of your first name, or of your last name, or of both, whatever, and just use them to think about things that you are thankful for. So my name is Bruce. So I start with B, and I think, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the Bible. I'm thankful for boys, our own boys and our grandsons. I'm thankful for beauty. Then we could include the girls. I'm thankful for the color brown. You know, lots of B's. R, I'm thankful for relationships. And I had thought about this, and then we sang about it today. I'm thankful for righteousness. Because you know what righteousness is? It's God making everything right. And I long for that, and you do too. So I'm thankful. We can be thankful for righteousness. Well, you get the idea. Take those letters and start a list of things you're thankful for. Next week, we're going to begin an Advent series, and we'll have 5 or 6 messages related to Christmas. And I'm kind of thinking that we begin the holiday season this week and throughout the whole holiday season, even as we look at some different folks related to Christmas, this pattern, this theme of gratitude will continue to ripple and flow throughout the season. So, it'll be good. Hey, give thanks, okay? It's a good thing for all of us. Amen.